In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This past week and in the week ahead, we celebrate a number of wonderful saint feast days, including yesterday when we celebrated the feast of Saints Fabian and Sebastian, early church martyrs. On Tuesday, we'll celebrate Saint Vincent of Saragossa, another church martyr. On Wednesday, we celebrate the great gentle doctor of the church and Saint Francis de Sales. On Thursday, we celebrate the conversion of Saint Paul. And on Friday, we'll celebrate Saints Timothy and Titus. This week is packed full of wonderful saints' feast days. But today, ordinarily on January the 21st, we celebrate one of the most famous virgin martyrs of the church, as we celebrate Saint Agnes of Rome, whom the cathedral over in Springfield is named after. Born in 291, Saint Agnes, whose name comes from the Latin word agnus, for lamb, and she's often depicted in her iconography with a lamb. Agnes was a member of Roman nobility, and she was raised in a wealthy Christian family. She was known to be very beautiful, and there were several men of the upper class in Rome, pagans, who desired to have her hand in marriage. But at a very young age, Agnes consecrated her virginity to Jesus Christ and took him as her spouse. This angered the men who wanted to marry Agnes, and so she was handed over and she was imprisoned. One of the accounts of her martyrdom states that she was stripped of her clothing and she was dragged through the streets to a house of ill repute, to a brothel, to tempt her away from her promise of virginity to Christ. One account says that after she was stripped of her clothing, her hair miraculously grew longer in order to cover her body. Other accounts say that men who had looked upon her with lust or who tried to do harmful sexual things to her were struck blind or were even struck dead. Eventually, they tried to burn her to death on a pyre of wood, but she was miraculously preserved from harm. Before this, whenever she was condemned to death, it is said that even the pagans, those who did not believe in Christ, even the pagans wept at seeing such a young, beautiful woman going to her death. And yet, Saint Agnes was as happy as a bride on her wedding day. She did not pay any attention to those who begged her, pleaded with her to save herself, to give in. She instead told them, "I would offend Christ, my spouse, if I were to try to please you. He chose me first, and he shall have me." St. Agnes was martyred for the faith by being beheaded on January the 21st, 304, after the attempt to burn her alive failed. She was martyred during the Diocletian persecutions in the Roman Empire. She was only 13 years old whenever she met her martyrdom, after having claimed Christ as her divine spouse and remaining faithful to him. The theme for the readings this weekend involve repentance, sorrow for sin, a turning away from evil, and believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in believing in the gospel, becoming witnesses to Christ and his church, no matter the cost. In the first reading, we hear from the prophet Jonah, who is told by God to go through the large city of Nineveh, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Whenever the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions that they had turned away from the evil ways, God repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. In our second reading from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Paul reminds us, time is running out, for the world in its present form is passing away. So we hear this message of urgency that's being conveyed to us in the readings this weekend, the urgency of turning towards the Lord and repenting of our sins. This culminates in the gospel this weekend when we hear the central message of our readings, aptly placed as we approach the season of Lent in just a few short weeks. The gospel tells us, after John the Baptist had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. This last sentence of our Lord sums up the entirety of the gospel. To repent and to believe and to live accordingly. To turn away from that sin which has held us captive and to believe in the one who comes to set us free from that captivity to sin. These two words, repent and believe, carry a lot of meaning with them. The Greek word that is used for repent or convert is the word metanoia, which signifies a profound conversion of heart. In its verb form, metanoia means to change one's mind. In other words, in this particular context, being a follower of Jesus Christ requires a state of thinking, requires a mindset, and living differently than the ways of the world. It involves a radical conversion and living in the life of Christ out of love for him. The word metanoia indicates to us that an act of conversion to follow Christ is not merely a one-time event or even just repeated acts of conversion, but it is truly a way of life. Metanoia, that is conversion, remorse, repentance, is sterile and even hopeless if it does not lead to something better. And so our Lord tells us the second half of the concept of metanoia by saying, repent and believe. Repent and believe. Repentance and belief, brothers and sisters, are not reserved for only the beginning of the Christian life, but must be those constant dispositions that we have each and every day of our Christian lives. So what does all of this have to do with St. Agnes? Well, St. Agnes and so many martyrs and so many saints like St. Agnes became saints because they had experienced and they were living metanoia. They were living conversion. And they had turned away from a love of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And instead, they believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what formed and shaped their lives. They lived accordingly. And once they had indeed believed in Christ, they continued in that faithfulness to him, even many of them to the point of death, like martyrdom, like St. Agnes, who had taken Christ as her divine spouse. So in light of all of this, of what we hear this weekend, what is it that we need to repent of, to turn away from, to leave behind, and to turn to Christ all the more fully in our Christian living? Where are the areas in which we need to grow in our belief? Let us employ those measures that we need to, especially discerning and praying about them as we approach the Lenten season, which will soon be upon us. That season in which we are called to metanoia, to an ongoing conversion, to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ and to live accordingly. What aspects of the faith, perhaps, are the most difficult for you to live out? Focus upon those in these weeks leading up to Lent and allow it to be a part of your Lenten preparation and journey. If perhaps in our prayer lives, we are often asking God to remove our burdens, our trials, our sufferings, maybe we should consider modifying that prayer. Maybe we should consider stop asking God to remove those trials and those burdens from us, but rather to ask God to give us the grace and the courage to bear our burdens and trials and sufferings and our temptations as well. For we know that it is a core and essential part of the Christian life to bear the cross faithfully, trusting in our blessed Lord and carrying that cross all the way to heaven with the help of God's grace. To use those opportunities of those burdens, those trials, those sufferings, and even those moments of temptation to be opportunities for purification, sanctification, all for God's greater glory and for our own holiness. St. Agnes of Rome did not shy away from her persecutors. St. Agnes of Rome did not cower in the face of her torturers. St. Agnes of Rome did not give in. Brothers and sisters, this 13-year-old girl could be an inspiration to each and every one of us, can she not? This 13-year-old girl should be an encouragement to us. Because you know what? The time in which St. Agnes of Rome was living, and the spirit of the world was not much different than it is now. It was not much different. Back then when sexual purity and virginity was mocked and ridiculed, and being a faithful follower of Christ like she was, no matter what the cost was mocked and ridiculed. She would not get with the times. She would not surrender her faithfulness to her spouse. for the sake of the pleasures of this world. She would not surrender that. She would not turn her back on her divine spouse. Yes, the spirit of the world in St. Agnes's time, brothers and sisters, is not much different than the spirit of the world now. So let's take a lesson from her. This 13-year-old girl who spilt her blood for the faith. And thank God she did. Because not only did it inspire more conversions to the Christian faith, but it continues to inspire us in our own Christian living. Let us look to her wonderful example. And just as she did not turn her back on her Lord and her God, let us follow and do the same. To turn towards the Lord more fully and living out metanoia. I'd like to end with a quote that comes from St. Augustine of Hippo, one of the great doctors of the church, one of the great fathers of the church. A quote in which he reminds us that we are indeed going to suffer persecution and oppression in our Christian lives. But he also reminds us in this quote that we should not fear, for Christ is at our side. St. Augustine said, Christ has said, in this world you will suffer persecution, but in such a way that the persecution will not overwhelm and the attack will not overcome. Against Christ's army, the world arrays a twofold battle line. It offers temptation to lead us astray, and it strikes terror into us to break our spirit. Hence, if our personal pleasures do not hold us captive, and if we are not frightened by brutality, then the world is overcome. At both of these approaches, Christ rushes to our aid, and the Christian is not conquered. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.